Good evening, Jim. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
The Americans put up a satellite some years ago called CSAT. What was it about, and what eventually happened to it?
Now, this was the really dramatic step that America took to demonstrate what satellites could do for oceanographers. And they put all the interesting things, as it seemed to us at the time, onto the one satellite and launched it. And it really was pretty neat. In fact, we're still going through the data that came off that satellite for the brief time it lasted, which is the rest of the story, I guess, and working out what it all meant and seeing how we could improve on it.
This satellite was quite a big one for its day. Why was it so big?
Well, as I said, it was largely because they wanted to put a number of sensors on it. Maybe one main point was because they had this so-called synthetic aperture radar on board, and radars tend to take up space. Partly they need to have a fairly large antenna to send their signal out, and partly they are very power hungry, and so they need big solar panels. So really a radar satellite tends to be a sort of flying solar power station coupled to a flying transmitter facility, like a big antenna with a big power station tied to its back, circling around the Earth.
Yes. One thing we don't have here in Australia is icebergs and so on. In Canada, where you come from, obviously in the Arctic Ocean and perhaps down the coast somewhat, icebergs are quite a problem. Would a radar satellite be any use tracking those icebergs and therefore helping shipping?
Yes, that's one of the big topics now. Well, it was one of the big topics then for CSAT. I didn't mention that so much because I'm from the west coast of Canada. And on the west coast, as I hope everybody knows, yes, at least on the southwest side in British Columbia, we don't have ice at all. We don't have icebergs down that side. But on the east coast of Canada, of course, we have the Labrador Current. The icebergs come streaming down every spring when the ice gets a bit looser there. And of course, we have still the dramatic historical event of the Titanic sinking, which is still sort of, well, obviously it's still remembered, but the International Ice Patrol, which you may know was started as a result of that event, still flies looking for icebergs. They fly with these radars now, synthetic aperture side-looking radars, and the aircraft that that is flown, a big Hercules with this instrument on it. As I discovered one time when I was up to do an experiment actually with CSAT, we were flying under CSAT and comparing with the airborne and the other radars. Every year they drop a wreath still on the anniversary of the Titanic sinking. There is some money was put aside in at the date of the sinking for eternal wreath dropping every year. And I don't know what happens. I asked the guys who were doing it. They said, well, you know, they just know there's this florist downtown and they have a wreath ready. Every time we send a taxi down and, come back with this wreath, and then the next flight we're going out, we just do a little detour to the site of the sinking, the reported site, and we drop the wreath. And it's been happening every year.
And does it work? I mean, do many ships hit icebergs these days?
Oh, I think these guys are pretty good now at warning ships away. I think one of the things that, of course, contributed to the Titanic sinking was the idea of invincibility that they had in those days. They didn't realize how dangerous ice was. And nowadays, I think one's insurance becomes invalid if one ignores the warnings of the International Ice Patrol and everybody stays well out of the way. But that's the sort of disaster scenario for ice. The common thing that these satellites get involved with is more the sea ice, just the more continuous sea ice, and navigating under sort of ice-covered conditions where the ship has some sort of ice-breaking capability and is trying to get around the north of Canada for one reason or another. And there's been a lot of work on ice mapping with these radars. And the conclusion, of course, is it works magnificently. It's a radar, after all. It's up in space. It isn't subject to the weather problems you get if you try and fly in the Arctic. It can see through clouds. The past radars haven't been totally good because they were designed to see roughness patterns on the ocean. And that meant that if the ocean gets rough, they respond by showing lots of signal. Which isn't too good when you want to have lots of signals supposed to indicate that there's ice there. The new satellite, RadarSat is what I want to lead up to, I guess.
Yes.
The Canadian RadarSat which is due to be launched in a year or two's time. This is in spite of Canada's fiscal problems, we're going ahead with this great satellite, and it is designed to map sea ice. It's designed specifically to avoid a lot of the problems of that past satellites would have had, and it is going to map day and night all the Canadian Arctic ice. Well, not just Canadian, of course, but that's what it's sold for. But everybody else's Arctic and Antarctic ice. And this is something we're really looking forward to, too. This is the new, you know, the next step for satellites. Yes. It's also Canada's first step, I guess, in having our own remote sensing satellite. So we're all very excited by this.
Yes. There was this enormous long gap from the 1970s, when CSAT was put up, until, well, the European Space Agency's ERS, and now coming up, RADARSAT. Why was that long gap there?
I think it reflects the sort of technological lead that the US had in those days, and their experience, I guess, partly military science, that they knew how to do it, wanted to go ahead and move on to that. And then they hit, I guess, the sort of start of the fiscal problems, which have come with limited money being put into space research. Plus, a lot of us feel, I guess, some rather bad planning, that they put all their money into the space shuttle, which was, you know, designed to promote man in space rather than, as we would feel, useful things from space. The shuttle, you know, takes people into space, that's fine, but getting people up is a very expensive thing and dangerous to life and limb, as we've learned, of course. And once people actually get killed, then all sorts of problems start, because you have to re-engineer things, be much safer, investigate why it happened. If a piece of hardware gets killed, I think, you know, it's a pity you've wasted a piece of iron, but at least there's nobody mourning and changing their entire philosophy how you do things.
And for the price of one shuttle, you could send up a dozen radar sets.
Well, almost like that, yeah.
Oh, well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Jim, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay here in Australia.
Thank you very much. I'm sure I will.